All right. Well, this morning we're continuing on what we started last week with the battle. This idea that we are in a battle, whether we like it or not. A lot of times we don't like it, and most of us don't like that we're in a battle, that there is a war going on all around us. And so, like we talked about last week, a lot of times what we'll try to do or like to do is just pretend it doesn't exist, bury our heads in the sand, or act like it doesn't matter. But we're in a battle, whether we like it or not, and how we fight this battle, it actually does matter. It actually does matter for our families. It actually does matter for our lives. As a church, it actually does matter. And we need to know that we have been given everything that we need to fight and to win. If we fight in our own strength, we have no hope. I don't care how tough you are. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. Without Jesus on your own in this battle, you have no hope. But if we're, as we talked about last week, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we can't lose. That's the good news in all of these things. If we're in the Lord, if we fight with the weapons and the warfare that He's given us to do, we cannot lose. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. As much as the person beside you might irritate you, as much as the person behind you in the grocery store line, as much as that politician might irritate you, our battle is not against people. We do not fight people, but we do fight evil and darkness and all things demonic. Our fight takes place not in this earthly realm, in the natural that we see all around us, but it takes place in heavenly places. There is a time and there is a place for things like that on this earth. We have police, we have military, we have all of these situations. There may be times we need to defend ourselves and our family. There are times we need to stand up and make our voice heard in the world around us. Absolutely, there is a place for that. But the battle that we are called to as Christians is not that. We were told last week in Ephesians 6 to stand. We looked a lot at our stance, and this stance is vigorously opposing something. This stance is standing our ground, having a backbone, having some courage, being bold and strong. As Christians, we're called to be meek and mild, but not weak and wimpy. We have a voice. We should use our voice. We have faith, and we believe in things. We should let people know that. When things like that come against our faith and what we're believing and what we're called to do in Scripture, we should stand against those things. So this week, we're going to look at the armor that's been given us. Because as we do these things, as we step out of the boat, the battle gets more intense. The closer we get to God, the battle gets more intense. The more we decide to follow Scripture, the more the enemy comes against us. That's just how these things work. But we have armor. We want to know, how do we fight this battle and win, and how do we defend ourselves from the attacks that come against us? Because they will come. Anyone who's been a Christian for more than a minute knows there is a battle. There is a battle. So what is this armor? How do we put it on? How does it work? What is it for? That's what we're going to look at this week and next week. So this message is The Battle, Part 2, and we're back in Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles or you're using your phones, Ephesians chapter 6. Last week we're told that we're told put on the armor of God. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. That means we have a role to play in this armor. We don't just say a prayer and believe something in our heart, and then we're clothed with all this armor, and we walk around without a care in the world. That's not how it works, unfortunately. We are hidden in Christ. God is sovereign in a grand scheme of things, but we have to, as we're told, put on this armor. We have to put these things on. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 14 this morning. Ephesians 6. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare it as truth. We declare that we will live by it and allow it to change us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister this morning to each one here, to those watching live in their homes or their bedrooms or their cars. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to every heart and every mind. We ask that you would reveal to each one of us this armor that we have available to us, and that you would do here among us, Lord, what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have to put these things on. There's a list. There's seven items that we find on this list. We see a belt of truth. We see a breastplate of righteousness. We see our feet being fitted with the gospel of peace. We see a shield of faith. We see a helmet of salvation, a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we see prayer. Seven things that is listed as our armor or our battling tools. And we're going to look at just the first three this morning. We're going to look at the belt of truth. We're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. And we're going to look at our feet being fitted with the gospel of peace. We've been told a lot in Ephesians 6. It talks a lot about standing. Even here in verse 14, it's stand therefore. When there's a therefore, we need to know what's above it. And that's what we looked at last week, is that we're strong in the Lord. We're strong in the power of his might. We put on the whole armor of God that we can stand, that we can vigorously oppose, that we can stand face to face against an enemy, that we can do all of these things. And so knowing all of that so that we can withstand the attacks, stand therefore. Because of all of that, and then it says, put on these things. Here is how we stand. But I want you to know, it's important to know that all of this armor that we have, it isn't so that we just stand there doing nothing, hoping that somehow we'll make it through. That's not the Christian stance. That's not what we're to do. There will be times in this life that we just need to weather the storm. We just need to hang on, buckle down, and weather the storm that's coming. There will be times that we'll feel overwhelmed, and all we feel like we can do is just hang on and somehow make it to the other side because the battle's too strong. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to fight this one. But that shouldn't be our whole life. That shouldn't be every day. That shouldn't be every week. That shouldn't be every battle. If every battle we're just barely hanging on to survive, then maybe we haven't put on the whole armor. Maybe we're not aware of what the whole armor is. Maybe we're not advancing and fighting. We're just defending. The armor that we have is both defensive and offensive armor. It's both to defend and to attack. Absolutely. There is times we need to just defend and hang on and make it through the battle. But there are absolutely times that we need to be using this armor to attack and to advance and to move forward the kingdom of God. This first item of armor listed is extremely important. I think a lot of times we just kind of glance over this piece of armor because it's not as glamorous, it's not as showy, it's not as fun. And this first piece of armor that's listed is that we're to put on the belt of truth. And it's just a belt. It's not flashy. It's not showy. You don't use it to advance the kingdom in terms of attacking and all of these things is how we usually view it. But we need truth. We absolutely need truth. Scripture actually talks a lot about truth and tells us a lot about truth. It says if we abide in God's word, then we'll know the truth. And the truth will do what? It will set you free. It's very interesting. The truth will set you free, and you'll know the truth if you abide in, if you live in, if you walk in God's word. So I would say sometimes when we're stuck, what we really need is truth. Sometimes when we're in a real bad spot, what we really need is truth. Sometimes when we need freedom, we really need truth. It comes with wisdom. It comes with discernment. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, but sometimes we'll fight so hard. We'll battle so long and so hard to get free of something or to get unstuck or to get out of this bad spot that we're in when really what we actually need is truth. We actually need some truth. Truth is so important. It speaks to our identity. If we don't know who we are, if we don't know our identity, who we are, what we do, why do we do what we do? I hear so much these days about your truth and my truth and everybody's got a truth. And it's actually quite irritating. Because everybody doesn't have a truth. There isn't your truth and my truth and we make our truth and everybody's got some truth. But there is one truth. There is truth, and his name is Jesus. If you abide in the word, you will know the truth. You can make up whatever you want, and you can call it whatever you want, but if it's not abiding in the word, it's not truth. That's just the reality. There is one truth, and his name is Jesus. Now, in a Roman soldier's armor, the belt was actually very important. The belt actually held everything together. They would wear a tunic, and the belt would cinch the tunic together so that it would fit in a spot where he could run and fight and defend himself and do all of the things that he needed to do. If we look at military or police officers, their belt has all of their tools on it. The belt is very important. It was off of this belt that the Roman soldier's sword would hang. That's where it found its place. All of the armor that the Roman soldier had was held together by the belt. The breastplate, all of the things linked to the belt. If we don't have truth, then we don't have the rest of the armor in the right place. The rest of the armor isn't held together properly on us if we don't have truth, if we don't have the belt of truth in place. We won't be able to maneuver properly because nothing's held together tightly. We don't have anywhere to hang our sword. When we do need to attack and fight, there's no sword to be hanging off our belt if the belt of truth isn't properly in place. All the rest of the armor won't be held in place properly without the belt of truth fitted around our waist. So what exactly is truth? Well, it's God's word is truth, but it's also Jesus who is the word. We're told in scripture that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. The only way that we have truth, like real truth, is through Jesus. Because Jesus is truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and we need to know what our Word says then about us. Do you know what the Word says about you? Do you know what the Word says about your situation? Because sometimes we can fight and we can adapt and we can change and we can maneuver and we can spend our time being busy doing all kinds of stuff when really, if we just knew what the Word said about that situation, we'd have truth. And it's a truth that we could stand on. It's a truth that all the rest of the armor would be fitted together with. If we're having financial issues, what does the Bible say about our finances? Do we have truth in the area of our finances? If we're going through relationship issues or work issues or whatever, mental health issues, whatever the issues are, have we found the truth that the Scripture gives us about us or about our particular situation? Because it's truth that will become our belt, that we will hang all the rest of our armor on for that battle, whatever that battle is. That's where you start in that battle, is with truth. Get the belt on. Get the rest of the armor hooked in properly. Get your sword hanging off of the truth. And then you're ready to fight whatever the battle is that's before you. The next piece of armor that's listed is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this sounds kind of weird because breastplates and these things, but in the Roman soldiers' armor, they would have a breastplate. And the importance of the breastplate is that it covers your heart. It covers your heart. And the heart of a Christian is very important. Our heart is very important. We talk about a hard heart or these sort of things, and that's the posture and the status of our life before God is our heart. There's a lot of very wise people who are mentors, and the very first thing that they'll ask you as you sit down is, how's your heart? Because your heart matters. Our heart is of great importance. The scripture talks a lot about our heart. We're told to guard our heart. Why? Because it says, from it, from your heart, flow the issues of life. Do we have issues in our life? How's your heart? Are we guarding our heart? Do we have the breastplate of righteousness covering and protecting our heart? We're also told from Scripture that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are we saying? If we're not saying what we want to be saying, if we're not saying things we should be saying, how's your heart? Because we don't just speak. We talked a few weeks ago about our thoughts and how it starts as a thought way before it ever ends up in our behavior. We never just do stuff. We thought about it. We considered it. It was in the abundance of our heart before our mouth spoke. This breastplate of righteousness, it guards our hearts. We need this piece of armor. This piece of armor connects to the belt to sit properly. So it's important that we have truth in the area of our righteousness. Because a lot of times Christians and the church will get all messed up when it comes to righteousness. Because we'll feel like we have no righteousness. Because I'm a terrible person, because I'm a sinner, because I messed up this morning or last week or yesterday, my righteousness is gone. I must not have this piece of armor anymore because I had a bad week. Or we'll be all inflated thinking that our breastplate of righteousness is super thick this week because I did all my Bible reading. I prayed every morning for an hour. Nothing can penetrate this righteousness because I had a good week. We need truth in the area of our righteousness. This righteousness is not our own. It's not our good outweighing our bad. It's not based on us. Our behavior absolutely matters. Absolutely God cares. But our righteousness is not based on us. So what is it based on? It's based on the blood of Christ. It's based on the work of Jesus on the cross. It's our right standing with God in Christ Jesus. That's the only way and that's the only reason that we even have right standing with God is in Christ Jesus. It's being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's our righteousness. We're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If we're doing it on our own righteousness, good luck. It's going to be a long, hard battle. It's going to be a lot more mistakes than we need to make. It's going to be a lot harder and much more loss than we ever need to have if it's on our righteousness because we're not strong enough. Our might isn't powerful enough. But in the Lord and in the power of His might, we have His righteousness. Abraham believed, and it was accredited to him. It's faith. It's our belief. It's that what we believe in our heart. That's why that matters. I'm not making light of believing something in our heart and saying a prayer. Because if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It matters. but it's what are we believing in our heart? That matters more. What are we confessing with our mouth? That matters more. That is our righteousness. That is the breastplate that covers our heart. It's a very important piece of our armor. And we put it on through our faith. We put it on through what we believe and what we declare with our mouth. We put it on by being in the Lord. That's the only way. We put on the belt of truth by knowing what the truth is. If we've never read this book, if we never read this book, if we don't know what's in this book, then we don't have a belt of truth on. We might have a belt, but it's not the belt of truth. Because in order to know the truth, you got to know the truth. So read your Bible. In order to have the breastplate of righteousness that God desires for us to wear, we have to have His righteousness. We have to be in Him. We have to put on what He did for us and live in that. And the third piece that we'll look at this morning is having our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. And this is an interesting one. It's kind of a confusing piece of armor because it sounds kind of weird. And as you know, having our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, how is that ever armor? How is that ever used to fight? But this speaks of being ready to move. Footwear is important. It's an eagerness to go and do. Remember, our armor is not just to weather a storm. It's to advance. It's to move. It's to go. It's to move forward and attack. We're to advance the kingdom of God. That's our primary mission and goal in this life, is to get as close to God as we can, becoming like Him, and advance His kingdom. That's what we're about. That's what we're to be about. We're to storm the gates of hell. And I would urge you, don't storm the gates of hell without your armor on. The enemy is defeated, absolutely. The victory is Jesus, and Jesus is alone. But don't go in without your armor. We're to work with Jesus to build His church. He said He'll build a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. But in order for the gates of hell to not prevail against the church, it means they're trying. It means they're trying to prevail. It means we have to fight. It means we have to defend. And how are we going to advance this kingdom by hiding all the time? How are we going to advance and build the church that Jesus came to bring this kingdom in this church if all we can ever do is somehow weather the storm to make it through? We need to be on the offense, on the offensive. We need to be actively sharing the gospel. We need to have our feet fitted with this gospel of peace where we're ready to go at any moment. At any moment when God places that person in front of us, we're ready. When we're in the grocery store line and God places them on our heart, we're ready. When we're with a group of friends and the conversation opens up, we're ready. Who have we told about Jesus recently? When was the last time we told somebody what Jesus has done for us? Who did we actually pray for last? There's a question I saw asked somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but it was the basis of the question was, if God was to answer every prayer you prayed last week, would the world change or would just your world change? Would somebody's life change or would just your life change? It's a hard question. When was the last time we told somebody we know this Jesus who can change their life? When was the last time that we told someone that they are loved by the God who created them? When was the last time that we told someone they can be forgiven of anything and everything they've ever done? No matter what it is. These are questions that we should ask ourselves, not to feel down, not to feel condemned. There's no condemnation for us in Christ. But these are questions that we should ask ourselves to see how well are we fighting this battle? Are we just defending ourselves? Are we just trying to make it through, or are we actually advancing the kingdom? Are we actually building the church that Jesus came to build? Are we actually stepping out, going, and doing? But it's also important to note that it says this gospel of peace. It's an interesting statement because peace in Scripture, usually when it's talked about, is this peace that Jesus brings into our life, and it's a oneness in us. It's a wholeness. It's making us a complete. It's shalom. God wants us to be complete. He wants you to be complete. He wants us to be whole, lacking nothing, not divided, not separate. He wants us whole. Jesus has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. It says, Scripture tells us that God is a God of reconciliation. He's a God that brings together not just people and not just relationships, but our lives, our hearts, our minds, our spirit, our soul. He completes us. He brings us and he mends us and he puts us back together. Through Jesus, we can have forgiveness and redemption and new life, eternal life. Jesus made a way where there is no way. Jesus is King. And we should have peace. We should have peace inside of us. There should be peace within us because of this gospel, because of Jesus. And then we should establish peace everywhere that we go. We should be people of peace. We make war in the heavenly places. We battle spiritual forces of darkness. We fight. We advance. We move forward. But among people, we're to bring peace. Scripture tells us that as much as it's open to us, we're to be at peace with one another. As I said, there are times for us to stand up, absolutely. But as much as it depends on us, we should be at peace. We have a gospel that is of peace. Our warfare is to fight the evil that would stop wholeness from being established in people's lives. That's our war. Spiritual forces of darkness want to bring chaos and terror into lives in the world around us. That is their goal at the end of the day. Chaos and terror. Darkness. That is what they want to establish. That is their purpose. That is their goal. That is what they are fighting for. Jesus wants us to fight for peace and wholeness in the world and the people around us. If you think about it, that's what evangelism really is. That's what the church is really about. That's what Jesus did everywhere that he went, was he found someone or a group of people who were in chaos, who were in darkness, who were in terror, who were stuck outside of God, and he brought peace. As he left his disciples, he said, "My peace I give to you." That's what he did. He's the Prince of Peace. So as a church and as Christians, we should be finding areas in our own lives first where there's no peace and seek to bring peace. Whether that's healing, whether that's freedom, whether that's truth, whether that's reconciliation, whatever it might be, where do we not have peace, we should seek to bring it. Because Jesus in this gospel covers that. And then as we advance and we build the church and we advance the kingdom and we attack the enemy, we should be finding people who have no peace. People who have chaos, people who have terror, people who have darkness. And we should seek to bring peace to those situations. Whether that's praying for healing in their life, whether that's praying for freedom in their life, whether that's praying for wisdom or reconciliation, we should seek to bring peace. God is a God of unity and wholeness. He doesn't bring division. He brings peace. In the spiritual world, there's violence, and there's warfare, and there is fighting, and we are called to be part of it. The kingdom of heaven is taken through force and through violence, Jesus said. It's done in the heavenly places. There is a battle. There is a fight. It is hard. We need to be out there attacking and moving and advancing the kingdom. And to do it, we need this belt of truth. To do it, we need this breastplate of righteousness and our feet fitted with this gospel of peace. Those are the first three sets of armor that is listed. And so this morning, I just want to close with our text covering these three from the Amplified Version. It reads, "So stand firm and hold your ground." There it is again. Stand firm and hold your ground. Don't retreat. Don't run. Don't bury your head in the sand. Stand firm. Hold your ground. Having, so don't do it alone. Don't do it in your own power. Do it having tightened the wide band of truth, which includes personal integrity and moral courage around your waist, and having put on, you do it, put on, the breastplate of righteousness, which includes an upright heart. And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace, in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Put on the belt of truth. Know what the word says. Because everything else we're going to put on is dependent on this belt. The breastplate of righteousness, guard your heart. Not in yourself, not in your abilities, but in what Christ did. And let's get our feet fitted with this gospel of peace. Ready. Ready when God places that person on your heart or before you. Ready. Stand. Bold, strong. Meek and mild, not weak and wimpy. Stand. Put on your armor. Advance the kingdom. Jesus is King. Be blessed. Have a great week. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray with you. We believe God still does miracles. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're good, have an amazing week. Bless you.